Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Welcome to another fantastic edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you on this beautiful July 25th, 2019. Hard to believe for me that it's already Thursday. This week is just flying by. I feel like I said it every single day, every day here on Current Sports. Hopefully you guys are having a great week and even better summer. On today's show, I want to talk some Detroit Lions. Because training camp across the NFL is officially underway. Wow, can you believe that? I mean, football is here. Football is here, folks. You know, in the next month, of course, college football will kick off. And Mark D'Antonio will be holding training camp. Yeah. We like that a lot, Kirk. We like that a lot, baby. Mark D'Antonio will be holding, you know, training camp press conferences and so on and so forth, chatting with the players and, you know, so Michigan State football right around the corner, college football in general right around the corner, the National Football League officially getting underway with training camps this week. The Detroit Lions began training camp yesterday. Yes, Darius Slay and Damon Snacks Harrison were in the his house. Details on that in just a moment. But I want to talk about expectations for the Detroit Lions. Because earlier this week, I noted how there are many people out there that believe the Lions are going to be crap. What's new, though, right? It's the Detroit Lions we're talking about. A franchise that has never won a Super Bowl. A franchise that has gone through multiple head coaches and just hasn't gotten the job done. No deep runs in the playoffs, if they do make the playoffs. Haven't won a playoff game since the early 90s. It's the Lions. We expect them to be pitiful and sorry and lowly every single year. But I want to tell you why Matt Patricia doesn't have a lot of pressure on him this upcoming season. And why I believe there is some potential for this Detroit Lions team to exceed some expectations out there. All right, so don't miss that chat. Also, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. And I think the dynasty's over now. I think it's safe to say that. Some people may go back and forth with me on that. You know, all these moves that have been made in the NBA, I don't see how the Golden State Warriors can continue their dominance that they've had on the association for years to come. But you know what? Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Warriors, he sounded off on the movement that has taken place in what was and what has been the busiest free agency period in all of North American sports. I mean, what we saw happen in the association this offseason was unprecedented. And he specifically commented on the Anthony Davis move from New Orleans to the Los Angeles Lakers. And he had something to get off his chest concerning contracts and honoring contracts as players. I got some thoughts on that. All right. And also, shout out to the LA Clippers because they announced Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And boy, oh boy, I tell you, the owner of the Clippers, you know, he's, I believe, Steve Ballmer. He's one of those guys that you just want to just hang out with, man. He seems like if you take him out, you know, on a Friday night or Saturday at a local spot, I mean, he will be the life of the party. I mean, that dude is just, He is a, you know, I used to be called this too back in the day. He is a walking Red Bull, full of energy, just like me. But he was fired up to introduce Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to the franchise. I'll have more on that as well. And then on the back end of the show, you know, we love to dive into sports history each and every Thursday here on Current Sports with a little segment that we call Throwback Thursday. And I'll tell you a few events that occurred in sports history on this particular date in sports history for July 25th. All right, we'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all beautiful people to be a part of the hour. If you want to chime in, pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call. Always love hearing your great voices out there live here on the show. Also, you can weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News and watch and comment below the live stream there. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. To start here with some MSU football news. Matt Coughlin, he was one of the best kickers in the nation last season, and not surprisingly is still considered to be in that group. The Michigan State redshirt junior was named on Wednesday afternoon to the watch list for the Lou Groza Award, which is presented annually to the nation's top place kicker. Coughlin finished last season 18 for 22 on field goals with a long of 49 yards, made all 25 extra point attempts, and was named one of 20 semifinalists for the Lou Groza Award. He connected on his last 8 attempts in 2017 and his first 10 in 2018 to set a program record for consecutive field goals made with 18. Matt Coughlin, the man with the golden leg. Love that. All right, the Michigan State baseball team was recognized with the American Baseball Coaches Association Team Academic Excellence Award for its third straight year. So congratulations to Jake Bosch Jr. and his troops. Again, not just handling business on the field, but in the classroom. Teams from every level of college and high school baseball were honored with the award, which recognizes teams coached by ABCA members that posted a GPA over 3.0 on a 4.0 scale for the 2018-19 academic year. In total, 296 college and high school programs received this year's award, including 95 high school programs and 201 programs from the NCAA Division I, II, III, NAIA, and junior college levels. Awesome stuff there. All right, the Detroit Tigers, what's new? They only had 5 hits total as they got completely blanked by the Philadelphia Phillies. 4-0 your final yesterday afternoon. Philly starter Vince Velasquez struck out 9 Tigers in 5 innings of baseball. The Tigers are now 30-67. Gosh, that is bad. And remain last place. So bad. They remain last place in all of the majors with that record. I don't know how people can watch that team. I just don't get it. All right. It's training camp time, folks, in the National Football League. No, I'm not talking about roasting marshmallows and pitching tents. Camp, get it? No, I'm talking about the Detroit Lions. Yeah, the Detroit Lions training camp got underway yesterday. It is off to a drama-free start at both Darius Slay and Snacks Harrison reported for duty with the rest of the veterans on Wednesday morning. Both are expected to suit up when practice officially begins today. Now, that gives the Lions their best look yet at a defense that could be among the league's best. Defensive end Trey Flowers, who has signed the biggest contract of the year in the NFL is the only big name not expected to be available when Detroit toes the Allen Park practice on the Allen Park fields, I should say, practice fields on day one. He is dealing with a shoulder issue and has been placed on the physically unable to perform list. All right, Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan is facing a four-game suspension from the NFL for violating the league's policy against performance-enhancing substances. Now, Lewan said in a video he posted on Twitter on Wednesday afternoon that Osterine is a selective androgen receptor module, whatever the heck that means, that has effects similar to those of anabolic steroids. Now, according to the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency, it is not approved for human use consumption in the United States. Osterine is not available as a prescription medication. So, Taylor Lewan, yeah, that's a no-no. As many of you know, Taylor Lewan is a former baller for the University of Michigan football team. And also, according to the NFL and NFLPA's joint statement outlining changes to the league's drug policy in 2014, quote, appeals of positive tests in both the substance abuse and performance-enhancing drug programs will be heard by third-party arbitrators jointly selected and retained by the NFL and NFLPA. So the left side of the offensive line was set in stone with Lewan and newly acquired left guard Roger Saffold lining up next to him. Now Dennis Kelly becomes the primary option to replace Lewan, but he was projected to battle with former Spartan Jack Conklin for the right tackle position. So we'll be following that story closely, and we'll see if the expected appeal from Taylor Lewan pans out in his favor or not. All right, the NBA and Detroit Pistons have settled a lawsuit filed by the mother of a Grand Rapids Drive player who died last year, March of last year to be exact, after collapsing during a game. A Wednesday report by ESPN did not include the details of the settlement, but Zeke Upshaw, at only the age of 26, he passed away in March of last year, 2 days after he collapsed on the court at the Delta Plex. An autopsy found this was due to sudden cardiac. This was a sudden cardiac death caused by the heart disease. I won't even attempt to pronounce the name of that heart disease.
But arrhythmogenic cardiomyopathy.
How in the world do you know that word, Alec? Thank you so much for pronouncing that. Yeah, that's the heart disease that Zeke Upshaw, passed away due to. Now, in the months after her son's death, Jewel Upshaw filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the NBA, the Pistons, the Drive, owner group, and the Deltaplex. And the suit alleged they were at fault for Upshaw's death by not starting CPR right away or using a defibrillator. Now, an autopsy said that was because Upshaw indicated to trainers that he had been hit in the head, so they were treating him as if he had a concussion, not a heart problem. But Jewel Upshaw said she didn't believe her son was conscious enough to answer any questions. Her suit says the people who responded after her son collapsed weren't properly trained to help him. Her suit also claimed that the NBA and the Pistons didn't do enough to teach recruits about the risk of heart problems when playing basketball and prevent problems. So again, a settlement has been reached for an undisclosed amount to Jewel Upshaw and the family after this very, very unfortunate passing of Zeke Upshaw last year. All right, the endorsement agreement aligning New Orleans Pelicans' number one overall pick Zion Williamson and the Jordan brand extends 5 years, becoming the richest annual rookie shoe deal in NBA history. Williamson announced the partnership on Tuesday on his social media platforms. The competition to sign Williamson, the national player and freshman of the year at Duke, was pretty intense. Many, many shoe companies going at Zion trying to get him to commit to their respective brands. I know Adidas was in the running. There were actually even two Chinese companies. Of course, Nike was in the running. But in the end, that honor went to the Jordan brand. Now, Williamson announced that partnership again on Tuesday. And he had other offers in excess of $10 million annually, according to reporting from ESPN shoe analyst Nick DePaula. So he could have gotten more, according to multiple reports out there. But I think it's a good move signing with the Jordan brand because there's a certain cachet that comes with that. All right, the newest and most promising era of L.A. Clippers basketball launched Wednesday with pop, circumstance, and plenty of confidence. Moments before all-star newcomers Kawhi Leonard and Paul George took the stage at Green Meadows Recreation Center in South Los Angeles, longtime Clippers broadcaster Don McLean called it the greatest day in the franchise's 50-year history. That bold superlative captured both sides of the Clippers' existence. A forgettable past marked by a curse and decades of futility and a much rosier present, in which the franchise is widely viewed as the favorite to win the 2020 NBA title after its splashy summer. If you look at the Vegas odds right now, the Clippers sit atop that list of the favorites to win the Larry O.B. come next season. Now, Clippers coach Doc Rivers, who was one of the architects of the turnaround, he amended McLean's declaration with an eye toward next June. Quote, "This is not our finest moment," Rivers told the crowd. About 200 media members, dozens of Clippers employees, and hundreds of other onlookers. That's coming. This feels like a movement. We've done some winning. We want to be winners. That's our goal. So, yeah. Pretty cool moment watching that. No cool moment, in my opinion, than watching Steve Ballmer just yell through the roof and clap and go insane before giving his thoughts on the acquisition of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. That was just so cool. Steve Ballmer is the life of the party. So we'll see what happens, man. Talk about expectation. The Clippers have never had this high of expectation to go that far come NBA playoff time in this upcoming season in all of its history. So awesome stuff there. All right. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call. Phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to talk about the Detroit Lions, what are your expectations for the Detroit Lions? What do you think is going to happen this upcoming year? Not many people are high on this team. You know, do you think that the Lions are going to exceed those expectations, those very low expectations? Or do you think it will maybe be a repeat of last season or even worse? Who knows? But you'll get my thoughts on that in just a moment. But comment on that or anything on your sports noggin. You can also comment and weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below the live stream there. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Again, happy Thursday to you all. Before I proceed, you know, we have been talking about the celebration of Earl Robinson throughout this week here on Current Sports and recapping that amazing Saturday. You know who also was one of the MVPs of that day? The man behind the glass right now. Haven't seen him all week. He's in as the engineer of the Thursday edition of Current Sports, Alec Rio. Because, Alec, you know, you showed up. You know, I asked you know, all three of our personnel of the three-man weave, as I like to call it here on Current Sports, the engineering team of Jack Kerwin, Connor Mathis, and Alec Rio. And, Alec, you showed up for me, and you shot some great footage from the celebration of Earl Robinson. But, you know, I don't know what's been, you know, sometimes I just have too much going on. And also, I'm getting older, man, and I forgot to bring the battery for the camera, the sports camera that we use for our 2-minute drill reports during the seasons. And I left the battery charging in my living room. And you showed up and you drove to my apartment, got my battery. And, you know, you had to dodge my vicious 4-pound Morky in the living room. But thank you so much. I get to tell you that in person now. Thank you so much, man, for showing up and showing out and getting that battery from my my apartment and shooting the celebration of Earl Robinson on Saturday. You were definitely an MVP. I'll rank you up there when it comes to the day's MVPs. You're right up there next to Magic Johnson.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That's some good company to be with.
There you go, man. Thank you so much. Happy Thursday to you. How's your week been?
It's been awesome, you know, making money, you know, delivering for Jimmy John's, so can't complain.
Yes, you are employed, not just here at Current Sports. All right. Thank you so much, Alec. I want to dive into the Detroit Lions real quick. I want to talk Detroit Lions football because – you know, this is a kind of a cool moment because this week marks the opening week officially of the NFL. You know, teams and players are getting underway with camp. You know, players are showing up and ready to work. And in many people's eyes, these are the first steps that you take toward becoming, hopefully, you know, hope is the big word around this time of the year, too, because everybody's 0-0. 0-0. The possibilities are endless for every NFL team out there. And, you know, as players are showing up, you know, for camp, you know, you're starting to see a lot of these NFL previews take place. And a lot of debates happen around the work water cooler, right? And, you know, you turn on all of the national sports channels like ESPN and Fox Sports, and you're hearing all of these debates as to who is going to make a big splash come the start of the NFL season. And you know the team that isn't on the tongues of those national analysts, the Detroit Lions. And frankly, they never are, because the Lions are a franchise that has underperformed for a long, long time, and we just don't expect a lot out of them. But you know what? I will say this, and I want to talk about expectations, because I believe that Matt Patricia coming into his first season last year with this team, I mean, we looked at Matty Patty and, you know, he was a coordinator under the great Bill Belichick. Many people believe the greatest mind in NFL history. He's right up there with Vince Lombardi. It's Vince Lombardi and Bill Belichick. And when you learn from a man like that, when you come from a coaching tree like Bill Belichick, wherever you go after that as head coach, there are going to be a lot of people that expect you to bring some of that Patriot winning way. But I don't know if you guys have looked at the coaching tree of Bill Belichick. I don't know what it is, but the coaching tree of Bill Belichick, when it comes to coaches that have worked under him, that have gone on to be head coaches elsewhere, the records aren't that impressive. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, man. But with that being said, I mean, Matt Patricia coming from the Patriots, a lot of people expected the Detroit Lions to become better and to improve on the records of former coach now, Jim Caldwell, and wishing Coach Caldwell well as well. That's a lot of wells. As he has decided to take a leave come next season with the Miami Dolphins. He's going to be taking an advisory role and not as an assistant coach due to health concerns. So wishing Jim Caldwell well come next season as he recovers from that and gets well. But, you know, Matt Patricia, you know, because Caldwell at least made the playoffs when he was head coach as the, you know, the head coach of the Detroit Lions. And Matt Patricia comes in from the Patriots. You just won a ring, and people were like, all right, this is the guy. This is the guy who was going to turn things around. And it didn't happen that way. It did not happen that way. You know, that was, what, February 5th of last year. And Patricia ended up, you know, losing his first two games of the season. First against the New York Jets. That was that 48-17 molly whopping on Monday Night Football. We all remember that, right? Because it had us all sitting here on the air like, wow, that was maybe the worst debut for a head coach in Detroit Lions history. And then the following week, the Lions lost to the San Francisco 49ers. That was that 30-27 heartbreaker. His first win came on September 23rd of last year against his previous team. How ironic, right? Against the New England Patriots. Weird. That was just weird. In which Patricia ended up beating his old mentor, Belichick, in the process. And it was also the Lions' first win over the New England Patriots since the year 2000. So maybe some familiarity there, and that's what led to the Lions ended up beating the Patriots, the eventual Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots from last season. When it was all said and done, though, the Detroit Lions finished with a 6-10 record, finishing fourth in the NFC North, in the basement of the NFC North. It was very underwhelming, you know, and Patricia, it's not like he shed the blame and put it on somebody else. You know, he took full responsibility for that 6-win season. And now coming into this year, you know, I think it's interesting on a lot of different levels because I believe that when you listen to, you know, how everybody is talking about the Detroit Lions in the offseason and you read all of these NFL football previews for next season, there are so many people that believe the Lions are going to be crap that sometimes it is good to have low expectations because then you can kind of fly under the radar. People don't expect you to be the second coming of the New England Patriots. You know, and you can just go to work without having some kind of weight and pressure on your shoulders. Because I think that when Matt Patricia came in as the head coach last year, there was all this hype. You're coming from the Patriots. Jim Caldwell couldn't get us over that hump. You're going to just, we don't need much. We just need two more wins from the average of what 9 wins that Jim Caldwell had when he was head coach of the Honolulu Blue. So you're going to give us that extra boost that we need to be a legit contender. Then you have a 6-win season. Then the doubt creeps in, right? And then the articles come out, like right now. I saw yesterday, and we highlighted this just before we bid you all adieu on the Wednesday edition of Current Sports, USA Today predicting that the Lions are going to go 3-13 next season. 3-13. Yeah, that's the kind of conversation that is surrounding the Detroit Lions for this upcoming season. So, Matt Patricia, I don't care what happens next season. I think that Matt Patricia, he can go out and maybe have, hopefully this doesn't happen, knock on wood, but he can go out there next season and have a 3-13 year. And I still believe that he is not going to lose his job. He will still be the head coach of the Detroit Lions regardless if they do have a horrid year come next season because, you know, Bob Quinn has already made it pretty known that this is our guy for a long time. Matt Patricia, we are riding and dying with whatever happens with Matty Patty as our head coach. So expectations are low. You had a bad first year, so expectations are low coming into this season. Job security is pretty good. Even after whatever happens after your second year, Matt Patricia is smooth right now. He doesn't have a lot of weight on his shoulders. Which sometimes for a lot of people out there, I mean, it's always easier when you're working on a job when you don't have a lot of expectations, right? When you can just work freely. You know, your coworkers and maybe your boss, they don't expect much out of you. So there's a lot of potential there to exceed expectations. That allows you to just sit back and say, all right, I'm calm right now. I'm just going to go out here, do the best I can, and we're going to live with the results. You know, you don't have that pressure. You can relax and do your job. I got a few questions, though, for this upcoming season when it comes to the Detroit Lions. I just want to go through them real briefly here. Because these are the questions that I ask, and I'm sure there are many fans out there who have the same questions coming into this season. And depending on the answers to these questions, that will determine whether or not the Detroit Lions can be a playoff team or not. Number one for me, can Kerryon Johnson stay healthy and play a full 16 games? Now, Johnson had a remarkable rookie season, didn't he? He really did. I mean, this is a dude that averaged 5.4 yards per carry. Six rushes of 20-plus yards in 2018. But the only red flag I have when it comes to Kerryon Johnson is his health. Because, unfortunately, Johnson suffered a season-ending injury back in mid-November. So, if Kerryon Johnson can stay healthy and continue to put up those kind of numbers, 5.4 yards per carry, that can, talk about pressure, that can relieve some pressure off of that guy behind center, which I'll get to in just a moment. I'll get to him in just a moment. The Lions secondary. Can it live up to the talent that we look at on paper? Because if you remember about this time last year, there were many people that were hyping up the Lions secondary. Quandre Diggs coming into his own. Glover Quinn playing at a high, high level. Darius Slay coming off his first Pro Bowl year. Darius Slay, clearly the best player on that Detroit Lions defense. And also hope still lingering for a guy like Tease Tabor. So when you look at those names, Quinn, Slay, Diggs, Tabor, I mean, this Detroit Lions secondary should be pretty good. But they didn't live up to that hype at all last season. I don't know what that was. The Lions actually finished 30th in passer rating and 27th in the league in yards per attempt allowed. Not great at all. That's a big question for me. Next, Jarrett Davis. I'll never forget. I was on when we still had Current State here at WKAR. I was a guest on Current State talking with our very own Scott Pohl. This was just after the NFL draft, and this is like 2 years ago, right? Jarrett Davis, 2 or 3 years ago now. Yeah, going on 3 years now. Wow, that's crazy. But I was in New York City for a workshop with NBC. And I called in to Scott Pohl, and you know, we talked about the Detroit Lions draft for that year 3 years ago. And Jarrett Davis was a part of that class, and I was so big on Jarrett Davis. I loved his competitiveness. I loved his athleticism, his leadership. We were hearing all these things about him coming out of camp, being a vocal guy and a guy who is showing up early and staying late. But he has not lived up to the billing in these past 2 years. Can Jarrett Davis take that step? That's the question I have concerning him. Because, you know, he continues to put in the work, say the right things. He's got a lot better players alongside him this upcoming season, I believe. Coaches continue to hype him up. But he's got to go out there and perform. Can Jarrett Davis take that next step? It's a big question I have as well. And how about Matthew Stafford? That's the second before last question I have. Can Matthew Stafford return to form, the form that we saw 2 seasons ago when he was leading the league when it comes to, and hopefully the Lions don't even put themselves in this position, but when Matthew Stafford was leading the league when it came to fourth quarter comebacks, when that Detroit Lions defense, you know, would give up points and then you would have to rely on the magic of Matthew Stafford and his arm to bail you out of situations. Matthew Stafford was fantastic that season, but he has got a lot of pressure on him this upcoming season. Now, granted, I have for the most part backed Matthew Stafford because I believe he has not had the personnel up front to give him enough time to make that kind of magic happen. But no doubt about it, when you look at the film of last year, Matthew Stafford made a lot of mistakes. And he was not great. Questionable throws. trying to do too much. Sometimes just take the sack. You know, don't try to play hero ball and throw the pick. I thought he started thinking too much, because that's what can happen. When things start to spiral out of control, especially when you set the tone for the season the way you did on Monday Night Football in front of everybody in the nation watching, and you get blown out against the New York Jets of all teams, the Jets. I think that when you start to, and then you lose the next week, and then, you know, when you dig yourself in that early hole and you start losing games, you can begin to think too much and not just go with the flow and play and have fun. And I think that's what Matthew Stafford succumbed to last season as well. Matthew Stafford has to just go out there and just have fun and play. Give him enough protection as well, because I know they also have, you know, a left guard situation because of the release and retirement of T.J. Lang. That has left a massive hole on that offensive line. You know, will it be Kenny Wiggins on the starting front? Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen when it comes to that offensive line? But if he has the protection, Matthew Stafford has to play better. And also, you know, the Lions also hired Darrell Bevell as the new offensive coordinator for this team. So no more Jim Bob Cooter. And now Matthew Stafford, this is going to be a very important training camp because he has to learn a new system, which he has done before in his career. Darrell Bevell is the former offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. So he's learning a new system yet again. I watched Matthew Stafford's press conference yesterday, and he just said, look, man, I've been through this many, many times before in my career. A new system, it's all about change. It's all about adjustments. I'm going to be fine when it comes to learning this new system. When it comes to Bevell, which seems to place a lot of emphasis on the run game, actually, which makes sense. I mean, especially when you got a running back like Kerryon Johnson. So those are the big questions I have, along with whether or not the Lions can compete in what is a very talented NFC North. I mean, the Lions are in a division in the NFC North in which you have a team like the Chicago Bears coming off a 12-4 season. The Green Bay Packers, say what you will about them, but they still have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time behind center, which gives you a chance on any given Sunday or Monday in Aaron Rodgers. And also, you look at the Minnesota Vikings, they managed to somehow keep their talented roster intact despite not having a lot of cap space. So that is a very good division in the NFC North. Can the Lions compete? Those are my questions. What are yours? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll tell you what Steve Kerr, head coach of the NBA's Golden State Warriors, had to say when it comes to his concerns about player movement in the league. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. A few people chiming in at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. I gave you my top questions as the Detroit Lions have officially begun training camp. They reported yesterday, first practice underway. I don't know what time they hit the practice field out in Allen Park. Maybe they're underway right now or later on this afternoon in the evening. I don't know. I have no idea. But anyway, they hit the practice field today. And, you know, you heard my top questions for this team heading into next season. You know, can Kerryon Johnson stay healthy? That's going to be big. What about that secondary? Can they live up to the hype? Jarrett Davis, can you elevate your game in that linebacker position for next season? Can Matthew Stafford turn back the clock from two seasons ago? Two seasons ago, I should say. And will the Lions be able to compete in that really good NFC North division? And a good point brought up by our listeners as well. You know, and again, I've, for the most part, I've had Matthew Stafford's back. I have been a Matthew Stafford fan, really. I love watching that dude. You know, you can't question his toughness. You know, the report that came out in the offseason that Matthew Stafford played with a broken back has been, and Chris bring that to my attention on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. I mean, yeah, and that's the thing, too. Yeah, I mean, that offensive line, the amount of hits that Matthew Stafford has taken in his career due to a pitiful offensive line is a crime. I don't know how the dude is still walking today, but he played with a broken back last season. He's given it all he's got, but his decision-making is questionable at times. Alec Rio, before I push along to our next topic, you heard my question for the Detroit Lions, your thoughts on those, and where do your expectations lie for the Honolulu Blue come next season?
Well, my expectations are certainly better than everyone else's, apparently, because I think we're going to get more than 3 wins, no doubt. But I definitely think that the biggest change that the Lions went through this offseason was on the offensive side of the football, changing coordinators, you know, firing Jim Bob Cooter and hiring Bevell and, you know, getting their using their top pick in the draft, number 8 overall, TJ Hockenson. I think he's still got a lot to learn, but I think he's going to step right on and be a really big factor come this regular season. And, you know, just overall, I think that the Detroit Lions, they have a scheme that's much different than the previous three that, you know, Stafford's had to learn before with Bevell. And it's Stafford's job to be an extension of Bevell on the field. And for him to do that, he has to get to a certain point where I think he's well-versed and comfortable in this scheme. But that's a process that's going to take time. But I still think that they're going to figure it out by at least week 3 or week 4. Because obviously, you know, adjusting to a different scheme, you know, that's going to take a little bit to learn and stuff. But I don't think it's going to cause them to go 3-13. That's just absurd to me.
Well, let's look at the schedule real quick here. They will open up the year on the road against the Cardinals on September 8th. You know, they have 4 preseason games against starting with the Patriots, and then they play the Texans, the Bills, and the Browns. They will open up the year on September 8th on the road against Arizona. Then they will take on the Chargers. Then they play the Eagles, Chiefs, Packers, Vikings, Giants, Raiders. Just looking at that start for the Lions, there is potential for this team to start off pretty bad, Alec. You know, when you start off against, you know, I think they can beat Arizona. San Diego's going to be tough. The Eagles are going to be tough. The Chiefs, my goodness, that's going to be tough. Then you play Aaron Rodgers after that. Then you play a pretty talented Vikings team. The schedule is a bit brutal. And I think that's what a lot of people are looking at right now. I think that when you compare the Lions right now, I'll just ask you this, Alec. Packers, Bears, Vikings, are the Detroit Lions better than any of those three teams? I'll ask you that. Do you think so?
It's tough. It's tough. They're all very similar. Like, in terms of overall skill set, I can't really say. It's too early to tell, really, which team's better than the other.
And I tell you what, I want to see if this year for the Bears is going to be a fluke or not, because they went 12-4 last season and shocked everybody. I didn't expect Chicago to be that good.
Their defense.
Can they repeat that? And that's the thing, their defense. Yeah, the defense was fantastic last season. And the Vikings still have a pretty good roster, and the Packers still have Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, interesting season. All right, I want to shift gears real quick here before our final break to Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, making headlines due to what he had to say about the departure of Anthony Davis from the New Orleans Pelicans to the Los Angeles Lakers. That was probably next to Kawhi Leonard going and taking his talents to the LA Clippers. That was the second biggest move in NBA free agency. Now, Steve Kerr, talking to the Warriors Insider podcast, said that the trend of players who are not free agents forcing trades to get out of existing contracts, as evidenced by the whole Davis to Lakers deal, because that's essentially what happened, is a, quote, real problem. Kerr said, quote, I'm talking more about the Anthony Davis situation, where a guy is perfectly healthy and has a couple of years left on his deal and says, I want to leave. That's a real problem that the league has to address and that the players have to be careful with. When you sign on that dotted line, you owe your effort and your play to that team, to that city, to the fans. And then it's completely your right to leave as a free agent. But if you sign the contract, then you should be bound to that contract. Simple question. Do you agree with that statement or not? Because as has been highlighted many, many times, this is an era, this is the era of mobility in the association. That's what makes the NBA offseason arguably even more entertaining than the NBA playoffs. The amount of movement that we saw in this free agency period in the association was just crazy. But you know what? I want to say this. I think Steve Kerr has a point. Because at what point is it a circus? Does it become out of hand where you have players who are still under contract but are unhappy with, I don't know, the relationship with the coach, or you may not be getting along with a few teammates, but you are signed for a certain amount of years. You are still under contract. You may not become a free agent until a season or two, but you want out. And you say, no, I'm not playing for that coach. I'm not playing with these guys. I want to go somewhere else. Trade me or I will not play. I'll sit out. I'll boycott. That's when it becomes a bit dangerous. And I do believe that the league, and I think that's what Adam Silver, I kind of jumped down Adam Silver's throat during his NBA Summer League Vegas press conference, because he said that, okay, we have to look at this a little closely. You know, it was kind of crazy, and, you know, we want to put in parameters and see how can we control it. And the problem that I had is, you know, there's only certain things that you can do to control, you know, what a player does in the offseason, who he meets with, what players he vacations with, you know, who is he talking to from the organization? What are you going to do? Like hire 007 spies like James Bond to follow all of these big name free agents to make sure they aren't breaking certain rules? You just can't do that. It's hard to manage that. That's the problem that I had. You know, these players are going to do what they're going to do at the end of the day. But I do believe that, yeah, I think when you do sign a contract, you should honor that contract. And if you want to move to another team, you gotta play out that contract. Unless, and Steve Kerr made this very clear as well. I want to read this next quote. Quote, if you come to an agreement with the team that, hey, it's probably best for us to part ways, that's one thing. And then Kerr goes on to say, quote, but the Davis stuff was really kind of groundbreaking and hopefully not a trend because it's bad for the league. Alec, I do believe that that is bad for the league. If you have a player, again, who's under contract, and for whatever reason, it could be something small. I don't know. Maybe you don't like the jersey color of the team. I don't know. Just something small. I'm just, you know, being hypothetical here. And you say, I'm not happy. Trade me or I won't play. It's not like, and then people try to make the real world, you know, real world example here. I've had this conversation, you know, let's say, Alec, you were like a full-time employee here at WKAR, and you signed a contract for 3 years. You know, maybe you go through a period where you're like, man, I just can't stand Al. I can't do this anymore. You know, you got 3 more years in your contract here at WKAR. You know, I'm just not going to show up for work. That's it. I'm done. Trade me. Send me somewhere else. That's not how it. This isn't the NBA, folks. Trade. That doesn't happen in companies and corporations. Sometimes, maybe, you know, if it's like a chain and you've got different hubs all across the nation. But, you know, come on, man. You know, if Alec, you did that, honestly, it'll be like, all right, well, we got to fire you, Alec. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Or you know, I don't know, maybe I get fired. Yeah, who knows? You know, one of us has got to go. And at the end of the day, you know, you're not owing any money. That check is going to stop coming. You know what I mean? That's done. Whereas, you know, if a player decides to sit out and does not play anymore and boycotts and says, trade me or I will not play out my contract, the player has all the power, in my opinion, maybe too much power, because there should be some type of professionalism that says, all right, dude, you signed a contract, you signed on that dotted line. That has to mean something. Contracts have to mean something. And if a player sits out, it's not like the coach or GM can say, Anthony Davis, you're fired. What? You can't just fire an NBA player? You're still going to owe him that money when he did sign that contract. If I fired you and you had a contract for two more years, Alec, the checks just stop coming. There's no buyout when it comes to you. It's a different – you can't compare this to the real world, all right? That's just not how it is. It's not how it's set up. So I do believe that in that regard, something does need to happen. I think a lot of people are afraid that, okay, you look at what Anthony Davis did. Are there going to be other NBA stars out there that say, I don't like it where I'm at. I don't care if I've got two, three, four, however many years left on my contract. I'm going to sit out until you trade me. Then it starts to get dangerous because that's not fair, in my opinion. That's not fair to the team. It's not fair to the coach, not fair to the owner, not fair to the fans, frankly.
And like, and also to mention, like, any kind of small market team, you know, like the New Orleans Pelicans or, you know, just any new and up-and-coming team, you know, if the players have too much power in that stuff, then everyone's just going to sign to places with nice beaches like Miami or Los Angeles and all that stuff. You're not going to get anyone signing to Milwaukee or Minnesota or anything like that.
Right, exactly. That's a good point, too. That's the thing, too, man. I mean, and I'm seeing some people debate on our Facebook page right now. I see Steven, Aaron, Ben. No, this is the point I'm emphasizing. If, listen to me, if you, and this, that's why that last quote that I read from Steve is so important. If you come to a mutual agreement with you, the coach, owner, GM, that, okay, it's best for all parties to move. You know, it's best for us to split ways and part ways. And you agree, at the end of the day, maybe a trade is best here. Cool. But if that team still wants you, sees value in you, and does not want to trade you, and you force their hand by sitting out, that's not fair. And there's got to be some repercussions for that. Not fair. You signed on that dotted line, and we got you under contract. Thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I hear what Steve Kerr is saying here. I totally thought when I first read this headline, when it said Kerr, forced trade by Davis, bad for the league. I said, what? Bad for the league? Are you kidding me? Until I listened to and read what he had to say, and he's got a valid point there. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. We'll be right back with Throwback Thursday. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Some comments coming in here, Alec. And I agree. I agree with Chris here. I mean, yeah, if you can, if at the end of the day, you both mutually decide that, okay, as a player and as a coach or GM and owner, as a team, you think it's best for us to part ways, even though I'm still under contract, and you can trade me and you can find a trade out there that works. You know, I go to that team. I'm happy. Fresh start, and you get something in return, you know, then it's fair. It's fair on both ends. But, you know, if one party is unhappy, then, yeah, that's not cool. Not cool at all. And you can argue the other way, too. I mean, if let's say, you know, a team out there, Alec, says that, all right, we want to trade this player, even though he's still under contract, and that player doesn't want to go, because then you start to argue on behalf of the player as well. If that player is happy at a certain organization, and a team says, well, we want to trade you. That's why so many people are unsympathetic when it comes to coaches and GMs and other personnel. At the end of the day, it comes down to relationships, and it has to be mutual, in my opinion.
It's just like that situation with Isaiah Thomas when he got traded from Boston. because they said that they're going to keep him, especially after what had happened with his sister. You know, they were like, you know, assuring him that, yeah, we want you here and we want you to be a star player. And then right after that, he got traded.
Right. Exactly. You know, and then you start to have the debate. Is it fair to the player as well? It's got to be equal on both sides, I believe. And if not, but at the end of the day, it is a business, too. And that's another thing, too. I mean, you're not always going to be happy wherever you work, you know. So, yeah, it's an interesting conversation. It's got a lot of layers, but I can see the point that Steve Kerr was making, though. All right, we're just, wow, time flies when you're having fun. Just under 2 minutes on this day in sports history, folks. A little throwback Thursday for you. On this day back in 1850, oh, that's a long time ago, out in Maryland, you had Harvard in Worcester, Maryland, Harvard and Yale University freshmen met in the first intercollegiate billiards match. They don't have billiards collegiately anymore, right? That's done, right?
I don't know. I mean, I know there's a pool club at MSU.
Okay, so that may be a thing. That may be still a thing. Like a club. There's probably a club team, I'm sure. It's definitely a club team.
Yeah, probably.
Also, on this day, back in 1978, Pete Rose of the Cincinnati Reds broke the National League record for consecutive base hits as he got a hit in 38 straight games. That's amazing. In 1987, on this day, the Salt Lake City Trappers set a professional baseball record as the team won its 29th game in a row. In 1999, on this day in sports history, talk about a guy who, Pete Rose and Lance Armstrong making the show in the same day. Two guys who many have mixed emotions about. Lance Armstrong on this day, though, he won the Tour de France. He was only the second American to win the race. He's won it multiple times. On this day back in 1990, Roseanne Barr sang the national anthem in San Diego before a Padres baseball game. She was booed for her performance, one of the worst renditions of the anthem of all time. And also on this day, speaking of Tour de France, Lance Armstrong also on this day in 2004 won his record 6th consecutive Tour de France. Yeah, there you have that, folks. All right, have a good Thursday. See you tomorrow, and be easy, people.